This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
And Jacob!
Educated educators talking education.
Hey, pencil busters. It's class in session. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. We are pretty much mid-month July, right in the thick of summer break for so many educators out there. If you're not on a year-round schedule, you're just in the what I've been calling the off season. But here at Busted Pencils, we've been still chopping up discussions about education. We got kind of an interesting week going, Jacob. Before we dive into kind of the learning, the class in session part of this weekly pod drop, you know, which is going to set up our amazing Saturday show. We got to pre-record our Saturday broadcast. We'll plug it a bit today. We got to talk with teacher Joanna. I won't bury or spoil the surprise, who took on a new title, made some major accomplishments in the last couple of months. And I'll spoil it a bit, defended her dissertation and has joined the doctors. So she is Dr. Teacher Joanna, and we have the pleasure of having Educator Amplified regular Teacher Joanna, now Dr. Teacher Joanna, join us for a pre-record that'll air Saturday, where she's going to talk about some of the interesting stuff that she's been talking about for quite some time, even here on Busted Pencils, but has now published as her dissertation, successfully defended it, you know, and I think it's good stuff. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, regulation. And now I'm not talking about rules, although, you know, it's not anything goes in good education. I'm not talking about rules like how to make sure, you know, regulations are followed, but more or less making sure we as educators and our students have the opportunity to be regulated in terms of our nervous systems. So it's some exciting stuff, but I thought this week, Jacob, for our class in session, we'd set that up by talking a little bit about something I'm always saying here on Busted Pencils, kind of part of the mission is to emancipate learning or education from schooling. And so today, in today's today's class in session, I'm going to talk a little bit about the difference. What I mean by that, the difference between engagement versus compliance.
Yeah.
Right. Engaged learning versus the making sure you follow the rules. And lots of school, or what we often call as schooling, you know, is predicated based on and experienced as a whole bunch of rules you just got to follow. Why? Kind of like when you ask your parents, why can't I stay up late? Or why can't I have a later curfew? Why can't I drive before I'm 16? And I say, because I said so, or because those are the rules. And I'm not advocating here for complete rulelessness, you know, chaos or disorder, because it's not anything goes. But I'm really going to lay out some differences when we fall into the sort of traps or habits of school or our learning classrooms, you know, really being based on compliance, following rules, versus being engaged. And I'm putting a disclaimer out there. That doesn't mean there aren't any rules. It just means they're kind of predicated or based on a priori assumptions and shared experiences where we're kind of co-forming and having responsibility for those expectations. And that's the first place I'll start, Jacob. Is this the difference around, what's the difference between a rule and an expectation? Right. And we'll kind of get into that today. But before we jump into that, which sets up our awesome Saturday show I plugged, Jacob, how you doing, man? It's mid-July.
I'm doing good, Johnny. As I keep saying to anybody who will listen to me, I don't know what it is. I'm not in school anymore. But for some reason, I still get anxiety at the thought that the summer's coming to an end and people are going back to school.
Yeah,
and it scares me, even though for me, summer is just a time when this studio is even hotter than usual. So I should really want it to end, but I can't get out of my student mindset that I've had for the first 20, 3 years of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it that's, Jacob, in itself, one of those arguments, too, that a lot of folks I know who do a year-round model of education, which different than sort of the traditional model of, you know, schooling in this country where, you know, you take the summer off, which is still based. We talk about old habits that carry over. Jacob, that whole summer off thing is based on our agricultural roots in this country where so many kids had to help their families, you know, on their farms or in growing food in sort of our rural agricultural communities, which is a large part of this country. I mean, anybody who looks at a map knows that. A lot of kids were required to be lending a hand, or it was all hands on deck, you know? And so we kind of got into that habit of, you know, going back to school after the labor to prepare or the harvest was done. And so we have sort of this school model based on an agricultural community that by and large doesn't exist for a majority of students these days. But like most things in education, which kind of is related to our topic today, old habits die hard. And I'm not talking about the great movie series Die Hard, although I could digress and really get into that. Some of my favorite action films there.
We need to bring Bruce Willis into education more. I think that's important.
He might be in the ducks at the studio, Jacob. I don't know what's been going on, but, you know, I wouldn't doubt, you know, Bruce Willis popping out at any moment to liberate or emancipate education and learning from schooling, you know,
yes.
or to help Jacob out in the office there. Should there be some kind of takeover of civic media? Maybe Bruce Willis is in the ductwork there, or someone who has studied the Die Hard movies closely enough to pull that off.
That's what I was thinking. If something like that happened, I know that I should climb into the vent work and sneak around and maybe walk through some glass. So
yeah.
If anything happens, I think we're in good hands here now that I've seen Die Hard.
We'll pay extra close attention to that at Christmas time, because I do think Die Hard is one of the best Christmas movies of all time. And I know that's controversial genre crossing right there, but I digress, Jacob, as we engage with our listeners. You know, no compliance model here. You're free to turn us off or keep us on, but hopefully we're engaging. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, but Jacob and I are checking in. It is midsummer. And Jacob, yeah, there is that, like, you know, it's sort of like a major case of the Sundays,
mm-hmm.
You know, as a student growing up, even as a worker, you know, like if you're in the privileged amount of folks, like I would say is a minority in this country now that, like, you have a traditional weekend, you know, a Saturday, Sunday, a case of the Sundays is that sort of looming anxiety that, oh no, Monday's coming up. And on Monday, I'm back to work. Or if you're a student, on Monday, I'm back to school. Parents out there, you know that behavior change that happens Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening when you're chasing maybe your young ones around, getting ready for the week. Did you get those assignments done? Do you have everything? Do we have lunches ready to go for the week or whatever it is to prep for the week? Can sometimes, and this is related to what teacher Dr. Joanna is going to talk about on Saturday with us and continue to talk about, and Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna have been, you know, working with schools for a long time now about, is those kinds of things, Jacob, can be dysregulating. You know, it can throw off our nervous system. They can be, you know, anxious. It can sort of produce anxiety or worries, but they throw off our nervous system. We get dysregulated. By and large, Jacob, one of the arguments I would make is because for schooling for so many children and the adults working in those buildings, so their teachers included in this, schooling is based on these, like, habits and rituals of compliance. And I'll even add on to that, forced compliance. You know, Teacher Joanna, in that great interview, if you want to call it that, or that discussion that we had that will air on Saturday, you know, talked about, you know, we make people do things in school. You know, and she used a voice, and I also, when I teach about forced compliance, do that too. I'm like, hey, we're going to make you do this. Why do you have to complete these worksheets? Because the teacher said so. Or why do you have to, you know, move from room to room when the bell rings after 50 minutes It's because we said so. So school is based primarily on these sort of rigid structures, you know, and based on compliance, which we know as a learning scientist runs antithetical or goes against, you know, the best practices for supporting, you know, learning for a multitude of different kinds of learners. You know, now there are learners who respond really well to rigid structure. So that's not me saying throw out the rigid structure, but the forced compliance piece. So what I'm going to emphasize is as we're going through these differences today, today's class and sessions and introducing them, listener, it's because we kind of want to spark your inquiry, your engagement around what are some of those practices that maybe work sometimes, like they're disciplinary in a good way, but the way that they're structured and sort of universally applied are more about forcing compliance and routine than about fostering inquiry, about learning, about deep learning and engagement. The kind of stuff that we all know when we're engaged, when we like what we're doing, doesn't mean you always have to be comfortable or you always have to be, you know, loving the topic. But by and large, when we feel like we can be ourselves and we can be open to inquiries that are interesting to us or connecting whatever we're learning to the interests we have or going deep in areas that we find, you know, compelling, that we tend to remember that stuff and apply it in our lives. So like lifelong learning, like the stuff that sticks with us, tends not to be only the things we memorized or we were forced to do. You know, so applying that. So like sort of like the ultimate goal, the high level learning stuff that we hope all kids have access to in our schools, by and large is not accomplished the way schools are structured. So that's kind of one of the things we're always getting into here when we're saying, hey, what are the differences between engagement, right, and compliance? So Jacob, I'm thinking, let's talk a little bit about those things and break it down a little bit. And our listener, if you're listening and you want to text or call in and share some of the things you remember that were based on compliance, or if you have a good example of engagement, you could do that at 608-557-8577. But Jacob, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
What's something off the top of your head that you remember about school that felt by and large mostly about compliance or forced compliance?
Learning Spanish was all about compliance because there was a rule you need to have, you know, that language and or a language. And they say, well, the only two that exist really are Spanish and French. Those are really the only languages in the world. So you have to learn one of those two. And it was all about compliance with that rule. So I had a hard time learning Spanish because it seemed like the world's biggest chore in the world.
Yeah, Jacob. A lot of times when we think about like our curriculum choices,
yeah,
they're set for us and there aren't really all that, like not many options. And there are some non-negotiables. Sometimes it's about like, who do we have available and highly qualified to teach those things? But they often don't seem to make sense to us as learners or even sometimes as teachers who don't necessarily have the authority to change the whole curriculum. But how we offer options to students are often based not on what would be most engaging for, you know, this group of young people or even introduced as such, right? Like I can imagine, Jacob, if from an early age, we were talking about, like, especially in our social studies learning, you know, the demographics of our communities, the different jobs and responsibilities that community members have, and how frequently putting to use a second language or another language other than English spoken in our community could be of use and can be woven into your day-to-day, which would make sense for a lot of folks in our country, Spanish being a largely spoken language in this country. Right. But also, if we localized curriculum, it might not only be Spanish. It might be sign language. Right. It might be, Arabic, a widely spoken language around the world. It might be Mandarin, one of the largest spoken languages on the planet. Right. So there are options that we might begin to, you know, connect with and see relevance and engagement for us. or even have curiosity about, right? Rather than like, well, you're of that age. This is sort of where I'm getting into schooling model.
Yeah.
Guess what? Next year, you're going to have language class. Here's your choices, Spanish or French. You're like, hey, why? Neither of these make sense. And then maybe, and I'm not picking on your Spanish teacher, Jacob, because I know a lot of amazing language teachers out there. Language teachers, if you're listening, you're a pencil buster. You know, reach out. Call or text us 608-557-8577. We want to hear from you because I know there's a lot of amazing language teachers out there. But maybe there aren't, because there are a lot of ways that schooling seeps in, that model of forced compliance. Because so much of the everyday routine of school is about that. Like Jacob's example, like, hey, there's really not a choice here. You get to pick one of these two, right? And you're like, I don't know. I don't really have a personal connection, or I haven't really been, you know, introduced to these topics in engaging and exciting ways. Like, here's all the amazing things you'll be able to do as a fluent Spanish speaker, right? And you're thinking like, wow, that's exciting to me. I can't wait till I get to take that class. Instead, most of our experience is like, hey, you have to have a language elective. It's a requirement. And it's one of these two. Pick.
Yeah.
Right.
Or in the same vein, Johnny, if I could say, I think that talking about compliance versus engagement, it seems like on the administrative side of things too, sometimes your school will think, oh, we have to comply with having this language requirement that we have to do. And they don't think through it to make it an engaging course. It's just, they're also checking a check mark. Both of you are. And everyone's going through the motions on that subject.
Exactly. You know, I call it sometimes us being asleep at the wheel. Compliance model of everything. And this goes all the way up from the activities we're doing in our classroom, the choices that are available to us about what we're learning, all the way up to, like Jacob said, that model of forced compliance. Everyone's under a follow the rules. So one of the characteristics of forced compliance-based schooling, call it that, schooling, is that sense of it's that way because somebody told us it's supposed to be that way. And oftentimes, that's not dissing the experts out there. Oftentimes, those are antiquated and not necessarily applicable to the time we're in, or even make sense to the people teaching them. And that's not me making a case against learning Spanish. I think probably like learning Spanish is something I'd highly advocate was happening in most of our schools.
Yeah.
Given the amount of Spanish that is spoken in this country and around the world. But options, because I think learning other languages, as well as, you know, learning different things around the curriculum and having those choices are there. But Jacob, your point, the level of that forced compliance habit that's pervasive in schools around this country and kind of, to be honest, around the world, right, isn't just experienced by students. And that's one of the really exciting things to plug Saturday's show. Teacher Joanna, now Dr. Joanna, talks about and being regulated isn't always, you know, having an engaging space, a flexible, regulated, engaging space for our learners, but it's also for the adults in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Jacob, you hit the nail on the head. One of the symptoms, if we were to call like schooling kind of a pervasive disease in public education right now, that well, we got to do it this way. Why? Because it's always been that way, right? Not even because research tells us it's right. It's research, in fact, tells us it's not what's right. But we do it because it's the way we've always been doing it. I call it school seeps in. It's like catching a flu. And then you have the symptoms of the flu. Well, compliance-based education, you know, seeps in, we breathe it, and teachers are experiencing it. You know, school administrators experience it. And one of those symptoms or characteristics of that is that sort of highly standardized curriculum, you know, inflexibility. You know, these are the topics you got to cover them. In some states, as rigid as at this time, every second grader is doing this lesson and these read alouds. And then I should have somebody walking through the hall that could hear and make sure second graders are on pace for what they're learning today. I mean, it's that strict in some states, right?
That's
and
crazy.
Other states, it's real. Yeah. They have curriculum compliance officers, right? People whose job it is as administrators to walk around and make sure that the curriculum is being filed at the right time, the right place. And you could do so by hearing the students you know, engaged in that, and not engaged. I'm throwing up scare quotes for the YouTubers. You can see, you know, participating in that compliance based activity. Everyone out there remembers doing worksheets. And it's another example, not saying that they're bad, because especially as a math teacher, like, I got to have you practice some problems. You got to have some practice. Or maybe you're an English teacher, like writing sentences, like that happens, or responding to thought prompts. There's nothing, it's not me saying worksheets are bad, but that idea, like, here's 52 math problems. You know, we're going to spend the next 40 minutes doing those math problems alone at your desk, you know, and the compliance model seeps in, right? I want you to work by yourself. If you're talking to somebody, you must be cheating, or you're not focused on your activity. So you're being forced to sit and do. And when school starts to be about that, even if you're somebody who says, well, I actually loved to sit and do, it's not necessarily common that folks are engaged when they're sitting and doing. There are lots of thoughtful ways that a worksheet may involve talking with others, collaborating, maybe even co-constructing the work that we're going to do on our own and in groups this week. It's really thinking about, you know, I talked about this before, Jacob, you know, I'm a coach, and I came into education as, you know, someone who loved coaching and started to apply, you know, what's it like to be a coach in a classroom, and how could I be a teacher when I'm coaching either out on the field or out on the ice or in the gym? Right. So those two worlds really blend. And if you think about this, great teachers don't sign up to be teachers to enforce rules. Every teacher out there knows, oh my God, yeah, you are in charge. So you have to help maintain the order of the classroom. But there's nothing worse than being a rule enforcer. And when you're constantly doing that, it's taking time away from engaging your learners. And so keeping, you know, things on pace, but having flexibility, being able to stay regulated, be able to have an environment that's flexible and engaging, where students can be, you know, connected to not only each other, but to what they're learning. And I'll say it in an organic way, in a living way. And sometimes that's a little bit loud because they're talking. Sometimes that's not in rows or sitting at desks. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there's bad behavior because people are up and moving around. And in fact, if children are learning and they're engaged in learning, they're going to test boundaries, right? And so they're going to sometimes misbehave. Misbehavior in a classroom is a form of communication, right? Great teachers adjust to those misbehaviors. They guide them, they correct them, and they do so in engaging ways, right? Like, how are you responsible for, you know, how you're contributing to the group or for your actions, or where do we need to be together right now? Or how do we need to take a breather break or maybe a mental break or shift what we're doing so that we're engaged in our best selves and not necessarily interrupting or, you know, or being out of compliance. Once every teacher out there knows it, once you slip into following the compliance model, you're up for some exhausting days. Because you are now the classroom cop. And I don't know about Jacob, I don't know about many of our listeners out there. They might be like, wait, I signed up to be the classroom cop. I'm like, and so there are some kinds of teachers who have affinities towards this compliance model. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, hey, a lot of us, we recognize and realize like we don't enjoy doing that. So and this is a teaser, because listener, tune in on Saturday for the live broadcast, or you can download the podcast of that after it airs, you know, at 3 p.m. Central Time on all the civic media, you know, networks. If you don't get to listen live, well, download the podcast, because Teacher Joanna talks about being regulated. And for teachers, I will say enforcing compliance constantly is dysregulating, not only for their students, but for them. Because most of us didn't sign up to be cops. We more or less signed up to be teachers that were like coaches or counselors. Like, we're there to support the learner. In fact, the word educator, right, comes from the root etymology of the word, right? To be present at the birth of, like to educare, to be at where ideas start to happen and get applied. Like those realizations, those aha moments that you're present for, like when letters start to form words, and we read those words together, right? Or when a math concept starts to not only work out in terms of their ability to complete the problem, but to connect that problem to things in the real world that they care about. That's what we signed up for. And that happens through engagement education that both allow for teachers to be engaging, to be their unique selves, to be present at the birth of those ideas in their students, and for their students to be there. No one can get to that level, Jacob, if we're all following the rules. And I mean that, like, you're like, they're saying, like, Johnny wants everyone to break the rules. No, I want the rules to change, right? Order can happen without punishment, without rigid discipline, and without structures that we know, and I'll emphasize that with a capital K, we know aren't working for most learners.
Yeah.
Compliance-based education is just not engaging, maybe for a few. And that's saying, hey, if you're a learner out there who needs that and you thrive in it, well, that's okay. You can have that, not at the cost of the person also in the room who's kind of shutting down on that. And it's wearing our teachers out, and it's wearing our schools out. And it's also kind of putting us in those positions, Jacob, where we're like, why are we even doing it this way? So if you're out there wondering, like, I get it. We talk here on Busted Pencils all the time about public education could be so different. In fact, it ought to be. Well, it has to be funded differently. We need more funding to schools. But this is some basic stuff that honestly, Jacob, doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
It's shifting the paradigm of how we approach education. As simple as, are we being engaging? Are we fostering engagement? Or are we enforcing compliance? Right? And then teacher Dr. Joanna on Saturday is going to take us another step in our learning. We're going to get our learn on this weekend with Dr. Joanna. And she's going to talk a little bit more about how not only does kind of thinking about this in an engagement way promote learning, but in fact, it fosters us as regulated adults or regulated young people in a space together. And she kind of says that's the key to this. So if you're curious to learn more about that, tune in Saturday. But hey, Jacob, it's midweek. Pencil busters out there, it's still summer, right? So we got to hold on to that summer. Let's keep it rolling. And now it's time for your moment to zen. Everything in history, once it has happened, looks as if it had happened exactly that way. We can't imagine any other, but I am convinced of the uncertainty of history, of the possibility of surprise, of the importance of human action in changing what looks unchangeable. Thanks for listening to today's Class in Session. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, just go on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com, or you can find us on our own website, bustedpencils.com. And remember, you can always get great Busted Pencils content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays like today for Class in Session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, you can always tune in on Saturday and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.